Well, and that's the next valve there. Are they really there? Okay, now reach down and touch the seat. Is it really there? Do you feel the claw? See, it's really there. And the wood is really there. And that is what you call tangible. Okay, that's tangible. Well, there are some things in the Word of God that are tangible. Many people today, especially hard shells, we won't call them hard shells because they're not. They don't have any shell at all, I don't think. But those new lighters, they don't think anything that is spiritual is real. Talk about all spiritual things. Well, there are some spiritual things in the Word of God that are real. Many spiritual things are real. Did the Lord Jesus Christ really come down in a bodily form of a human being and really die for our sins? Could people really touch Him? That's real. That's tangible. Will the city of New Jerusalem really be real? Does Israel really, or is Israel really going to have a land? That's tangible, isn't it? Well, many people don't believe that spiritual things are tangible. We're going to go this morning and find some of them from the Word of God. I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. Exodus chapter 16. We find Israel here, and they're doing like what they do best, rebel. Just like some children of God, the thing that we do most is rebel. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Oh, doesn't that sound sweet to them? Accuse the Lord and Moses of such things. You know, people many times just won't believe because they can't see and touch something. I want to tell you there are some intangible things in the Bible. The Lord of heaven is intangible. The Bible says that even when Jesus was upon this earth where people could see Him and touch Him, He said to a woman at Samaria, those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. We must worship God in spirit. And also another Bible writer in the Bible said that we do not follow God by sight, but by faith. Okay? But while we follow God, there are some real tangible things that we can lay hold of. All right? We talked about some tangible things, some of the fringe benefits of being saved this morning. Brother Jay lit up. Boy, he lit up. I don't know where he went. He's hiding somewhere. Anyway, he lit up this morning when we were talking about the fringe benefits of salvation. He went like that. You know, there are some real tangible things, some real tangible benefits being saved. We're going to study about salvation as a tangible thing. It's real. It's plain. It can be seen. He said, if you brought this whole assembly out here to kill them with hunger, and in verse 4 it says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now, do you think they went out there and just were out there picking up things like this and talking about nothing there?
What do you think? Was this bread from heaven really real? I believe it was. It sustained these people. You know, they didn't have to take vitamin pills either.
Everything that they needed was in that bread. It was a small, like pea-type substance. It was little, you know, little droplets like dew. Have you ever seen dew droplets on the grass, on leaves out there? Well, it was small. Many people think it was raining loaves of bread, though. No, it was something that they gathered and then they made bread out of it. But here it was real and it was there, all they had to do was pick it up. It was tangible. It was a blessing right straight from God. And it was tangible, it could be touched. It was real. Was it spiritual? Sure it was. It was real food. It said here that they would have this food and it was real. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, in verses, you can read all the way from verses 9 through 14, and I think we'll go ahead and go through there, because if I don't read that to you, you won't get the whole sense of it. It's kind of like jumping in the middle of a story somewhere. You don't get very much if you don't understand what you're talking about, what's being said. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenants, and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I have commanded you this day to do them. Therefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to His judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God shall keep unto you the covenant and the mercy which He swore unto the fathers, or thy fathers. And then verse 13 and 14, pay close attention to this. You have the idea of what's going on here. God is telling them, if you'll just walk in my ways, I'll bless you. Were there some real, tangible commandments to keep? Real commandments? He told them not to associate with the ungodly world of their day. Could they touch the ungodly world? Could they feel of it? Could they see it? Could they smell it? Well, sure they could. Well, so they could see and they could touch and they could feel and they could experience and they could know the blessings of God. They were just as tangible as the rest of these things were. Then he said in verse 13, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you, and he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land and your corn and your wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the flocks of your sheep and the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give you. Are those real blessings? Now let's go back and look at some of them. Did they have children? They could touch it. Now, you can reach out over there, brother, and you can touch those children, your sister. Occasionally you do. And Brother Gray can run around here and touch his children. They're real, aren't they? Do you know those children are a blessing from the Lord? They are, really. Those children are a blessing from the Lord. Many times we treat them like it's a curse. Sometimes we think they are at times. But they are a blessing, really. They are a blessing. He said, I will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land. Now, did their land bring forth plenty? We know that it did. We have absolute historical facts. And even archaeology tells us the land was very fruitful. We have facts. It was fruitful. It was tangible. It was real. They had much corn, they had wine, and they had oil. They had a lot of cattle, they had a lot of sheep. These were all real. And the blessings that God told them, said, I will bless you. Now, all they saw was bless. You know, they said, I will bless you. Many times we say, if you shall call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Those are words, aren't they? But those are, that is tangible also. It is really tangible. It's a fact. Verse 14 says, you shall be blessed above all people. There shall not male or female be barren among you or among your cattle. These are real, tangible blessings that God said He would shower upon these people. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, He tells them again, verses 2 through 4, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, or to, and to test or prove you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you, and He suffered you to hunger and feed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know. They didn't know where this manna come from. You know what the word manna means? What is it? They didn't know what it was. They didn't understand it. But it was real, it's tangible, it fed them. That He might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. You want to really have life? Then you follow the Word of God. He said, your raiment waxed not old, it didn't wear out. Neither did your foot swell in 40 years. You know that their shoes lasted 40 years? How many of you ever had a shoe that lasted 40 years? I haven't. I have a pair of shoes on this morning that are 7 years old, and they're pretty old. That's old for a pair of shoes. Well, he said, your shoes are going to last 40 years, your clothes are going to last 40 years, I'm going to feed you for 40 years. And they really had real shoes on their feet, they had real clothes on their back, and they ate real food. Tangible. That which may be touched. And then in Psalm 78, 22 through 33, we're going to read a little bit more about these people. You know, God's people just don't like to serve the Lord, seems like. Have a hard time with it, don't they? God's nation. Having a hard time. Psalm 78, verses 22 through 33. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and He had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Now here manna is called manna. It's called the corn of heaven. And man did eat angels' food, the same thing. He sent them meat or food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind, and He rained flesh upon them as dust. He's talking about the quail that God gave them. You know, they wanted meat. You know, God has given us everything that we need. He really has. And then we're still unsatisfied. Look at these ungodly rascals here. He rained flesh upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and He let it fall in the midst of their camp. They didn't even have to go out and get it. You know, the other day I drove about 40 miles to go hunting for a few little old birds. These guys all had to go out there and get it. Well, let it fall in the midst of their camp and round about their habitation. So they did eat, and they were filled. For He gave them their desire. They wanted it. You know, quail is supposed to be one of the best foods in the world that you can eat nourishingly, and tastes good also. One of the best wild birds that you can eat. It has less wild taste and tastes better than all the rest, and God gave them the best. He gave them the best bread they could possibly have. They couldn't grow it, bread that good, with all the nourishment that it had in it. I'll tell you what, you could eat that and not anything else and have all the nourishment that your body needed for good health. But they weren't satisfied. They weren't satisfied. you know, I can set my boy Gary down to a meal and give him a real good meal, and he looks up after he eats and says, "What's for dessert?" You don't have anybody like that in your house, do you? Brother James, you can take him and you can just feed him all the lasagna and everything else he needs, and he'll look out after he finishes with that tabletop and say, "What's for dessert?" Well, you know, dessert tastes good. But these people here wanted more than dessert. They weren't satisfied with anything. Nothing. So they did eat, and they were filled, and for he gave them their own desire. Gave them everything they wanted. You know, God gives us everything we really need, doesn't he? Some things we want, we don't need. If we really need them, he'll find a way for us. He'll find a way. And they were not estranged, and that word separated from their lust. All of this that God gave them, all the real tangible blessings that he showered down upon them, they were not satisfied with. They were not estranged from their lust. They were not separated from the lust. They still lusted. But while their meat or their food was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came down upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still. Believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. You know, some people with all the proof that they need will not serve the Lord. All the proof that God is real, all the proof he has chastised them, he has worked with them, he has blessed them, and all the blessings, all the chastisement that God can pour upon a person, some won't go. Some will go. You know, God convicts people of salvation the same way, doesn't he? You know, God will convict, and he'll convict, and he'll convict the person, tell them, you know, you're not here this morning by accident. Did you know that? God is dealing with you. You're not here by accident. It is a move of God, of his Holy Spirit, that even guides you to be here this morning. That's absolutely right. That's a fact. Well, there's nothing in your flesh that would want to come and hear a preacher condemn human nature. Is there? It's of God that you're here today. The Holy Spirit and the conviction in your heart is of God himself. He's doing it, not me. I couldn't convict the police. All I can do is force one every now and then. I couldn't convict a little old Shetland pony. I couldn't. But the Lord, using his word, can convict the hearts of men and women and children. How does God convict? He convicts what? Tangibly, doesn't he? You can feel it, can't you? It can be touched. You can feel it. It's real. The conviction of God is real. He convicts you what? First of all, to salvation, doesn't he? You know in your heart you need to be saved. Then after salvation, you know, that's just, the Lord's not going to save you and turn you loose, people. Regardless of what some people think, the Lord is not going to save you and turn you loose. When you're saved to what? Serve the Lord. Be happy. Without serving the Lord, you can't be happy. There's no happiness and there's no real peace. We talked about that this morning in the book of Jude. These things come from knowing and serving God. You join one of his New Testament churches, that's the only way you can serve him. You're baptized because of the Lord. That's what it means in every place it says for, or unto, or into. It means because of there, because of the Lord. You're baptized because of him, because of what he has done for you. You're not baptized to be saved, but you're baptized because you were saved. And you follow the Lord and you fellowship him in his New Testament churches. You're guided by his Spirit. These are real and tangible things. real and tangible. You can see them. You can experience them today. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 7 says, the Apostle Paul speaking here to the church at Corinth, the assembly at Corinth, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that your fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud," or you can say because of Moses. That's why they were baptized there. "In the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food." What was that talking about? What spiritual food? Manna. Okay? "And all drank the same spiritual drink." What is it talking about there? Remember when Moses spoke to the rock and then again he struck the rock? Or he struck the rock twice. He was supposed to speak to it the second time. He struck the rock the first time and water flowed out. And he was supposed to speak to the rock the second time and he struck it and water still flowed out. "Drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." What do you think about that? That rock was Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that little rock down there that was made out of some type of sediment was the Lord. That rock represented Jesus Christ. The source of that water was God. He was the source of the water that came out of the rock. God caused that water to flow. Verse 5 says, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened to them as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also crave." Now, you know, the Lord could have just left all of that bad history out of His Word, couldn't He? Oh, that's some terrible history in there. I mean, what is it? The history of God's people rebelling against God. That's what it is. But He put it in His Word that we might have an example not to go in their ways. Some of them just wouldn't believe. You know, there are people in this world today that just will not be saved. They won't. I don't care what you tell them. I don't care how the Holy Spirit of God convicts their heart where they can feel it. They know that God is real. Otherwise, there'd be no conviction. But they won't be saved. And verse 7 says, "And do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play." You know many people just come to church to be doing it. Really, they do. They'll come and they'll sit down and they'll hear the Word of God and then they'll go right out and they'll sin and sin and sin and sin all that week. I'm going to habitually and knowingly and on purpose. And they'll come back on the next Sunday and they'll sit down there and they'll do the same thing over and over again. What fool. You know, they're going to receive a greater justice. They're going to receive a greater judgment than someone that never even heard of. The people sat down and ate and drank. If you've heard the Word of God, you're responsible for our people. You are. Israel saw the real, tangible, spiritual food come down from heaven. They saw the real water flow from the rock. And the source of that water was God. They saw the quails coming to their camp. They ate that real food. And God caused it to come in. And what? And they stood up to play. And God put them there. He killed them. Why'd He do it? Because it's better for them if He did kill them than live in the state that they were in. Some of us, it'd be better if we just died and live and go on and exist like we are. It'd be better for us and better for the world, wouldn't it? Jesus, in His own statement, says that He was the real spiritual bread which came down from heaven in John the 6th chapter, verses 47 through 51. He said here, truly, truly, or most affirmatively, or amen, amen. That's what he said. I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. He who believes in what? That George Washington was the first president of the United States? And Ayatollah Khomeini is making a mess over there in Iran? What do you believe to have eternal life? What does it take? First of all, you must believe in God. But the Hebrew says you must first of all believe that God is, that He exists. Then you must believe that you are a sinner and separated from God, and you need to be saved. And the only way you'll ever be saved is by the merit of Jesus Christ, what He's done for you. And then you come to God, and you say, Lord, forgive me, sinner, and save my soul. Forgive me and save me for what Jesus did. I believe that He died for me. I believe that He was raised from the dead for me. And guess what? You have eternal life. You have eternal life. It's, oh, it's too simple. I won't tell you something that may be too simple, but that's what the Bible says, teaches. The world doesn't teach that, people. The world has perverted the gospel. The world tells you you've got to do something else. You've got to go take something in your mouth. You've got to go get sprinkled on my head. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to pay the preacher. You've got to pay the church. That's not what the Bible says. Salvation is free to you. It costs the Lord a lot. Salvation is free to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, and the Lord is saying this, this is Jesus' words, and He is saying most affirmatively, the absolute, without a doubt, tangible evidence, He says, he who believes has eternal life. Verse 48 says, I am the bread of life. You know the bread that fed and kept Israel alive is the one that you can eat today? How do you eat Him? By accepting Him as your Savior and found, or taking with Him. It's not talking about the Lord's Supper or communion. It's talking about the Lord Himself. Have you accepted Him? Have you really eaten the real bread from heaven? Have you in your life? You know whether you have or not. If you haven't, you're not saved. Plain to say. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Plain, isn't it? Jesus is a plain teacher, buddy. Amen. Boy, these are His words. You can depend upon them. These are the words of the Lord of heaven. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I'm going to tell you something. If this bread that He's talking about here is a communion wafer, the bread that we eat, then it's not working. Because a lot of us die. We're getting older. We're dying. This is talking about Jesus Himself, isn't it? This is talking about salvation, partaking of salvation. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Never. 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. My voice isn't even keeping up today. You're just trying to quit me. I'm getting older, people. I know that I'm going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. But I also know one thing. I may die in the flesh, but I'm not going to die spiritually. If I'm alive forevermore. I have eternal life right now. I know it. Nothing can separate me from God. Nothing can separate you from God if you're saved. Jesus said that He was a real spiritual bread that came down from heaven. Spiritual things are tangible many times. the real spiritual bread that came down from heaven, manna, angel food, corn from heaven, was real and it was tangible. It could be touched, couldn't it? You believe that? Amen, I do. The Bible says it. This bread was absolutely real. And the promises of God are absolutely real. That's a fact. Now, salvation is spiritual, isn't it? But it is tangible. Salvation can be felt by a man and a woman. A child's salvation can be felt. And it can be real in their eyes. It's tangible. And because that Brother Greg is saved, I can tell it in his life. He's different than he was before. I was there the night that he was saved. And he's a different person right now than he was before then. Is that right, Sister Stella? Amen? Doris, where are you? Doris is right in the back, isn't she? You know where she is? All right. Some of you here knew me before I was saved. I'm a different guy now than when I was before I was saved. I really am. Why? Not because of me, because the Lord saved me. That's why. Because the Lord saved me. And because I am saved, I live differently. I'm a different person than I was before. People can't tell any difference in you. You're probably not saved. The Lord's New Testament simile is a real, tangible, spiritual fact. It's real. The Lord's New Testament assemblies can be seen. If you're here today, just look around. This is an assembly of the Lord. This church house is only a church house. It's not church, by the way. These are the church right here. This is the church. It can be spiritually experienced. Isn't that right? You can experience being a church member. You can experience it. I want to tell you something else. It can be corrupted by sin. A child of God can be corrupted by sin, and so can Lord's churches. They are real, tangible. There. You can see them, you can touch them, you can experience them, you can feel them. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The Bible teaches us that we are to keep our lives clean, and we are to keep the Lord's assembly clean. Brother Maddie used the best illustration of that I ever heard the other day. That it was. Those of you who heard it. In Matthew 16, 18, and Matthew 28 and 20, the Bible teaches that the Lord's assembly, or His type, or His kind, or His species of assembly shall not cease until He comes back again. It's real and it's tangible. But that doesn't mean that assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be corrupted and ruined. And cease to exist of certain ones. You know that certain human beings in this world have been corrupted and ruined where the Lord even had to take their life? And there have been assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ that have so ruined their testimony with the Lord, so departed from the faith, that God has taken that candlestick, that reality of the Lord being there in that assembly away from them. In Exodus 16th chapter and verse 20, let's turn there. Exodus the 16th chapter and verse 20. We'll go back to 19. And Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until the morning. Now he's talking about what? Manna. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. Now, was this food really spiritual? Was there anything rotten in this food? Was it? It was pure and it was right straight from God out of heaven. But because of the atmosphere, because of the sin in people's lives, it became foul. It became filthy. Child of God, if you're not serving the Lord with all of your heart today, your life stinks. But the Lord says it stinks to the world, to your friends, your witness stinks. It's foul. And the Lord's New Testament churches can stink. We don't keep them clean. Keep the right atmosphere in them. And if you're lost in here today, you stink before God. That's right. Salvation is real, and you need to take advantage of it. It is tangible. Absolutely. Just as real as that bench you're sitting upon, that person you touched a while ago when you started this message. Salvation is real. Serving the Lord is real. Blessings from God are real. They're tangible. Whatever you might need in your life today, the Lord can take care of it. But you've got to let Him. He won't cross your will. He won't go beyond your own personal will. If you want to be saved, you better be saved right now today. If you want to serve the Lord, don't put it off another day, another week. You better start it today. You better start serving the Lord today. If you're not a member of one of the Lord's New Testament churches, now how do you become a member of one of them? Well, first of all, you got to be saved, huh? Isn't that right? And secondly, you've got to have scriptural baptism. Isn't that right? You come before this assembly and you ask them, tell them that you want to follow the Lord and serve Him. And you ask them for membership. This is the assembly that the Lord is talking about right here. Not me. I don't have anything to do with it. I just work for this assembly. See, I just preach the word to it. I'm not the boss. No way. They're the boss. Under the Lord. You ask them. They can make a motion accepting you as a candidate for baptism. And after baptism, you'll have full rights and privileges as a member of this church. That means scriptural baptism. Baptism that has the authority of God behind it. Then you're a baptist. Then you're a member. This is true. You need to be saved. You need to be saved first. If you are a member of this assembly and you're not serving the Lord, you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, here I am, use me. I want to be a real, tangible, useful church member instead of a real, tangible, stinking one. That's right. Whatever you need this morning, the Lord can take care of it. Brother Jay, what song do you have? 266.